Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old tree and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, boy.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Please send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and pretty much anything else within reason to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. If you prefer to be more vocal, beep talk.
1-877-282-BEEP.
And with much fear and trepidation, that brings us to why do these always give me a bit of the heebie-jeebies? Beep talk.
Beep, 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 beep.
I listen to your show on a regular basis, and I do love it. Have noticed that Tony and Joey are getting very verbal, and I kind of like it. I'd love to hear Joey sing, "The fruit of the spirit is," you know, how he was going on, and you shut him right down.
Yes.
I would love to hear that.
No.
Song.
Yeah, Todd.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no.
Todd.
No. And
we
Joey,
don't love that.
Come on, man. Having Carla call up Deep Talk is, I think, a little beyond the pale.
You don't know me.
All right, let's hear, Joey. We'll sing along with you. The fruit of the
spirit's not a banana. The fruit of the spirit's not a banana. If you want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See? Years of singing that really stupid song.
No.
As
Joey.
Me memorizing the
Bravo.
Fruit of the spirit.
Yeah,
Bravo.
No. See, I'm just letting it sink in for the dear lady who called, who now regrets every single word she uttered.
That's fair.
When I was 11, I thought I was saved. Long story short, turns out I wasn't. I never really did it for the right reasons. Mm. But since I was about 12, I've been suicidally depressed.
Oh.
I was getting more and more angry, and I went to secular psychologists for several years, and it just made things worse. Last April, I actually got saved. Ever since that day when I asked for forgiveness and repented, I haven't had one single thought of suicide or one single problem with depression. Everything completely changed. And you're right, secular psychology definitely cannot help you.
It just starts in the wrong place, and it ends even further away from the truth. Praise God, sir. First of all, exceedingly glad that you are saved, and also exceedingly glad that you happen to be a demonstration of an individual that God is very kind to at conversion and just automatically changes something, just radically changes something. That isn't true for everybody. And by the way, there are different categories. It could be an emotional struggle. It could be issues of temptation, a sin struggle, something that you've battled, that you've hated your whole life. You get saved and boom, God just removes it radically. And he sometimes does that. Other times it's more progressive. In fact, I would say probably with most of the panoply of issues that God deals with in the process of sanctification, most of those are progressive. But he does indeed work those God miracles where he just radically changes somebody. Sir, I'm very, very glad to hear that God has immediately healed your brain, because it really is a brain healing. And to the people who would say, "Hey, you cessationists, you don't believe in miracles." That's one right there. First of all, regeneration. That's supernatural, isn't it? And how's about somebody's thinking just automatically being fixed? That's an emotional healing that God himself and God only does. And by the way, God does miracles like that all the time. He does it through medicine. He does it through a progressive way. Anytime you get better from anything, You get a boo-boo. You stub your toe. And you get one of those horrible black nails, which is why, please, for the sake of all of us, wear a sock if you stubbed your toe and it's looking all nasty. Put the sock. I'm scrolling through my feed. I didn't ask for this. I think it's the Facebook feed. And it's things like dogs getting rescued. I'm going through that season again, you know, killing some time. And there's the dog thing. And all of a sudden, some big nasty toe appears on the video screen of somebody who's got an issue. Now, I'm glad they're getting help for it, but I don't want to see it. So keep them piggies covered. Summertime is coming, people. A fruit of the spirit is love. Practice love. If you've got yourself a dinged up piggy, cover him up. Most of the time, God does things progressively. All of the time, though, he gets credit for these things. All of it. Whether it is with medicine, whether it is with counseling, anytime we get better, it is God. I'm very excited. This fall, we're going to be launching in September. Yes, in September. Nope, earlier than that. I think we're going to be doing it in August. I've written a book, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Very excited about it. Hoping that university campuses will be up and running at that time so that we can distribute these all over the country. I just saw a Ray Comfort video. He was witnessing to a young man someplace. Nice kid, polite, and had some sort of a Christian background. And Ray said before the video, he said, I just want to let you know, this man was very receptive. I think that he prayed for him. And he said, but then when I turned off the camera, I asked him something that I ask almost everybody. And that is, do you ever have suicidal thoughts? And his answer, like so many people, is yes. It is so prevalent. Please, if you can, in the fall, we'll be having those booklets then. This book, it's an excellent thing to give to somebody. And you could just hand it to them and say, hey, I don't know if you or somebody you know needs this, but I hope that you'll read it or give it away. And you can help them see that God has the means for healing emotional issues. God does not want people to kill themselves. God loves life. It is the devil who comes to steal and kill and destroy. And he does that through lies, lies, lies. We've worked through a list of lies, but it's very, very simple. When it comes to dealing with emotional struggles, and I'm not talking about what might be in some, a few instances, be an organic issue. I'm talking about the majority of emotional struggles that we all have. It is a battle between truth and lies. It is as simple as that. That was the lie that began the whole war in the garden. Did God really say? So the devil, using the world system, fires lies at you constantly, perpetually, through any sort of means imaginable to get you to believe what he wants you to think so that you will be miserable, because he wants you to be miserable. He doesn't want you to have... Joey, what's the fruit of the spirit? By the way, I can't seem to remember what they are.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness,
no,
faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
No, you were supposed to sing it. Fine. Don't sing it. I'll sing it instead.
Which way do you want to go?
I think I want to sing it.
Okay.
Hang on. I just left my headphones on.
Could you give me... It doesn't matter when it's a kid's song. They'll just yell it at the top of their lungs. Love, joy, peace, peace, kind of good, man, control. Like that. God will progressively provide those things. The devil wants to steal those things. So it is a battle between truth and lies. You believe the lies of the devil, you'll be miserable. Believe the truths of God, and you will grow in joy and peace and shalom. That is the battle for the renewing of your mind. 1-877-282-BEEP. Praise God, sir. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Todd. This
Hello.
Is David. Hey, 2 years ago, I had contacted your program, and according to my cancer doctors, I didn't have much time left to live. Well, I saw one of my doctors recently. He told me, according to statistics, I should have been dead already. So much for modern science. I'm still here. God's got the number of hairs on my head and number of my days. And I'm still going to be out there sharing the gospel whenever I can.
We're going home, gentlemen. That's two magnificent phone calls in a row. This party is over. It is all going to slide so fast down that slippery slope of a hill. Praise God. Who did that? Who healed that fellow? And the answer is God. Did he take any medicine? Perhaps. Doesn't matter. Who is the one who gave the intelligence to figure out the cure to that through medical, through scientific, I don't want to get all technical on you, but through the medicine. God. So God is doing miracles perpetually, constantly. If you have been wondering, what's going on? Is God active? Is God working? The answer to that is yes and yes. He's growing his church and he's doing wonderful things all the time. He's healing people. He's saving people. He's defying medical expectations. This is not to suggest that we don't take seriously a prognosis or a diagnosis from a doctor. But if God wants you alive, you're going to stay alive. And you can go to a doctor and you can get a clean bill of health. And if God doesn't want you alive another day, I promise you, you won't be. Either way, we can say this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it because he is sovereign over all things, and he knows what is best for me. He knows what is best for Dave. And if God wants Dave to live another 30 years, he's gonna. And if he doesn't, Dave knows this, he won't. And the good news is, because God is good, we can accept that and receive that news and say, I'm at peace with that, because I would have biffed it. If I had to pick my death date, it would have been a mess. I would have done it wrong. But God does everything good and right for his children. Praise God for those calls. We may or may not be back. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. We always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day at Wretched Radio. We also are very grateful that you choose to spend part of your day at the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. That would be the Wretched website. It contains some amazing content, if we do say so ourselves, and we do. Complete 60-minute Wretched Radio episodes, 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, our Wretched store with over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and our latest evangelistic booklet, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus Is God. All waiting for you at the Wretched Store. Did I mention the Wretched Library? Where you can stop by and check out some great videos, all cleverly arranged according to topics for you to choose from. From abortion to pneumatology, marriage to evangelizing. Wretched.org is the home of all things wretched. It's also where you go to become a Wretched Gospel Partner. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Good news? Yeah! Lots of it due to the pandemic. Guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
I know it may be hard to believe, but it's true. Some people can't get enough of Wretched Radio. And for you, I have good news. We have over 2,600 episodes of Wretched TV ready and waiting and available for free at wretched.org/TV. Wretched.org/TV. You can watch Witnessing Encounters, discussions on tough theological issues, and various other topics in the Christian community. Full-length 30-minute episodes are all available right now at wretched.org/TV. Thank you very much to the generosity of our gospel partners. If you are not a gospel partner, would you consider becoming one? Because every dollar you give goes right towards helping Wretched reach the lost. And without the financial generosity of our gospel partners, Wretched wouldn't be able to make Wretched TV episodes, would we? Wretched.org/TV is the place to go to see those Wretched episodes. Wretched.org/TV. Wretched. Amazing grace. It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are so blessed today. This is Wretched Radio. I can only think of one Vacation Bible School song that I can remember. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Don't make me go up to the next note. That's the only one that I can remember. Right there. Joy, joy. I know there were other ones. If you gave me the first line to a Vacation Bible School song, I might jump in there with you. That's the only one I can remember. Music is powerful. Make sure if you're going to do the Vacation Bible School, social distance, and make sure that they are good songs because they will be stuck in their head forever. I had to sing a solo once in Vacation Bible School, Joey.
Really? How'd it go?
How'd that go?
Oh, well, I didn't have to hear it because I can't hear anything inside of my head. The theology, if I recall, was quite dreadful. I think that I was supposed to be David in the Vacation Bible School skit, and I had to sing a solo, and I think I can remember the words. Don't worry, I won't torture you with the tune. Lord, cast my fears away. Dreams of victory are few. I can't fight the way they fight, but I must fight today. And when you're fighting for the right, there's got to be a way. I'm not sure what Bible verse that is exactly. That's kind of making me David and David me, and that isn't the point of that there story. Jesus is David. David is a picture of Jesus, not me. Goliath isn't my problems. Goliath is not my issues. Goliath is a picture of death, the devil, sin, and Jesus, the great champion, defeating death. Jesus is the better David. Jesus is the better king. I ain't David, and I can't win every fight. Maybe that was like a little Philippians. I can fight all fights through Christ who strengthens me. When you're fighting for the right, and there's got to be a way. 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282. No, wait a second. I can think of another Sunday school. Let me just sing this one for you, too. Okay, fine. 1-877-282.
Did I do that out loud? Sorry.
With your microphone on. Indeed you did. Which, you don't make technical errors, so don't you try to feed me a bologna sandwich, Tony Verkennis.
So I'm talking in a Facebook group, Christian group, and somebody mentioned he doesn't like the term about Jesus fully God, fully man.
Uh-oh.
And he prefers the term authentically God and authentically man. That strikes my ears really funny in a bad way. Is that denying any central doctrines? Because this doesn't sound right to me.
You'd have to ask him what he means by that. You'd have to ask him what he means by that. My recollection is I'm hearing R.C. Sproul's voice ringing in my ears. When that came up on a conversation on one of the Ligonier panels, he said something like that. I think fully God. He preferred something like totally God, or just because there was a nuance to it. I wouldn't get terribly concerned. I think that I'd ask for a definition. What do you mean authentically? And besides, I like the word fully better than authentically. He was certainly authentically God and authentically human. That's certain. Fully is more complex in that fully. So he's fully, totally man. So you got room for nothing else. He's totally God. Wait a second. So if you're totally God, you've got room for nothing else, but he's totally man. And that is the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. And that is a theology that I don't think that we should blush and we should shy away from. I think it is magnificent. And it is an encouraging theology to me because I would not have concocted it, neither would you. You just would not have come up with this. Now, maybe you would create some sort of demigod who has a human manifestation, a demigod, but fully God, fully human. Who thinks of such things? Oh, yeah, the answer to that question is God. And please note that you may not understand that and need to understand that at salvation. I think it's better the more information and the more theology we put up front so that people understand exactly what it is that they are required to believe. Nevertheless, if you don't understand that it's salvation, the genuinely converted person will, once they are taught that and teach that we should, because it is not a doctrine that causes wobbly knees. It is a doctrine that encourages, because it's a doctrine that only God himself could write.
Hey, Todd, what does biblical courting look like?
Oh, that's a piece of cake. It looks like the way you determine it should look. That's what it should look like. I don't think that anybody should be writing a one-size-fits-all. We just don't see that in the Bible. If we were going to use the Bible for our dating manual, things would look a whole lot different. For instance, sir, you'd be sending your servant back to where your parents live, and then you'd be looking for a woman who comes out to a well for your son. You see, that wasn't intended to be to define for us what courting should look like. I would simply state this, that whatever you call it, courting or dating, I don't think that we should get twisted in knots over that sort of terminology. Whatever it is, I do believe that it should have a purpose. And if the purpose is less than to find a lifelong mate, then what's the point? There isn't one. The Bible does not come up with a category and show something called dating. And all it is something that is fraught with danger, because hearts get knit together and then they get ripped apart. Activities, they take place that have all kinds of consequences and regrets, maybe for the rest of their life. So if the purpose of it is not to find somebody with whom you can say, I do, I'm not sure what the point of it would be. Now, do I realize that's easier said than done? I most certainly do. Nevertheless, Dad, that is your role. Your job is to make sure that we understand what this thing is and that you're not opposed to it. I think this is perhaps the place where so many of us as parents, we kind of miss it. We think that, for instance, so let's just say you and I agree, we are persuaded that the only purpose in a boy and a girl getting together to spend any time together, however you define that, whatever that looks like to you, whatever you think is best, if we agree, though, that it's to determine, is she a godly woman? Is he a godly man? So that they can get married and live together forever. We've agreed to that. Now, how do you present it? How do you share that with your kids? That's where I think we biff it. We make it, it is a law, but we present it in sort of a legalistic kind of way, as opposed to, honey, I want to talk to you about something that is going to be different than probably every conversation every one of your friends and everybody on social media has ever had. Marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. Let's take a look at that in Ephesians 5. There it is, right there. That's what marriage is supposed to be. So now, finding a mate is all about finding somebody who can play the role of Jesus and play the role of the church. That means that time spent together with somebody of the opposite gender should have that goal and purpose, because the dangers of doing it any other way are too great. They are too risky. And I know that's going to be hard for you to grasp, but you're going to have to trust your pop on this. Our goal is to represent Jesus Christ and his church in marriage. That's what God calls us to. That means for the rest of your life, once you say, I do, you get to play that role. Now, that's theology. Why do I share that with you? You're going to want to start dating. You're going to want to start going out with people and having fun and going to the events and doing things together. If it doesn't have that goal and that purpose, then as your pop, I'm going to call you up to denying that desire and saying, we've got to reject that because we're about a higher business. We're a set apart people. We're different. We're holy. We're distinct from the world. So this is going to be hard. We're going to have to help one another through this. I'm going to try to not be overbearing, and you're going to try to be obedient so that we can play our roles and do the lofty thing together. All right. Something like that is a whole lot different than you're not. What are you? I don't care. You're 16. No. You're going to marry him? Does he have a job? Can he provide? Okay. I think it's pretty obvious. No. All right. You, Mom and Dad, need to negotiate those waters. My only encouragement to you would be make sure that you strive to present it as a calling up. Yep, it's a violation. It's a sin if they obey a disobey a commandment. But don't just be the heavy-handed authoritarian. I think that tends to repel them more and cause them to desire something that they shouldn't be desiring at all in the first place. And this, I'm not just talking about dating or courting. I'm talking about virtually anything, especially as teenagers. It's a piece of cake when they're little kiddos. No, you're not going to have a chocolate bar before dinner. Okay. But more and more as teens, don't just be the iron fist. Don't even put a velvet glove on it. Instead, as a growing adult, encourage them to be different and to be responsible, not to you, but to God. And let your authority not be you, but the word that you are representing to them. And that way they don't submit per se to us. They obey us as they submit unto the Lord. Is any of this easy? Nope. No, it's not, especially when it comes to dating courting. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Missionary pilot Joyce Lynn died on Tuesday when her plane crashed en route to delivering COVID-19 rapid test kits and other supplies to a clinic in the Papua Highlands. Aviation Fellowship has been supplying remote villages where symptoms suggest the virus is spreading, and the 40-year-old Lynn was on her way to Mamet in the country's easternmost province when she radioed with an emergency and her Kodiak aircraft descended into Papua's Lake Sentani. There were no other passengers on board, according to MAF spokesman Brad Hoagland. There were no other passengers on board due to the coronavirus flight restrictions, and the group has not had a fatal accident in the last 23 years. Praying for Miss Lynn's family and coworkers? So, we've got your Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research doing a poll, and the survey says the coronavirus has prompted almost two-thirds of American believers of all faiths to feel that God is telling humanity to change how it lives. Even some who don't affiliate with organized religion, such as Lance DeJesus of Dallastown, Pennsylvania, saw a possible bigger message in the virus. He said it could be a sign like, hey, get your act together. I don't know. The 52-year-old said he believes in God but doesn't consider himself religious. The poll found that 31% of Americans who believe in God feel strongly the virus is a sign telling humanity to change. The same number feeling that somewhat. Evangelical Protestants more likely than others to believe that strongly, compared with Catholics and mainline Protestants. The question was asked to all Americans who said they believed in God without specifying a specific faith. The survey, though, didn't have a sample size large enough to report on the opinions of religious faiths with smaller numbers in the U.S., including Muslims and Jews. In addition, Black Americans were more likely than those of other racial backgrounds to say they feel the virus is a sign God wants humanity to change, regardless of education, income, or gender. But the virus has prompted negligible change in America's overall belief in God. 2% saying they believe in God today but did not before. Fewer than 1% say they don't believe in God today but did before. Overall, 82% of Americans say they believe in God, and 26% of Americans say that their sense of faith or spirituality has grown stronger as a result of the outbreak. Catherine Lofton's a professor of religious studies at Yale. She interpreted the high number of Americans perceiving the virus as a message from God about change as an expression of fear that if we don't change, this misery will continue. 55% of American believers said they feel at least somewhat that God will protect them from being infected. Evangelical Protestants more likely than those of other religious backgrounds to say that they believe that. However, the degree and nature of protection that God is believed to offer during the pandemic differs depending on the believer. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Yeah.
important dates in Christian history. 312 AD. Emperor Constantine is converted after seeing a vision of the cross. He becomes a defender and advocate of the oppressed Christians. After his death, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, which endured in some form for another 1,500 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And this is a vacation Bible school you never want to teach the kids.
I think I'm gonna throw up. I think I'm gonna throw up. I think I'm gonna throw up my hands to the Lord. I think I'm gonna throw up. I think I'm gonna throw up my hands to the Lord.
Verse 2.
Throw up.
Oh, no, it's the chorus.
Throw up my hands.
Verse 2. Oh, we repeat it. So this is getting them ready for contemporary worship music, eh? This is Wretched Radio. Before we move on from the subject of dating courting, now that we've perhaps encouraged the parents in a rather chastising way, let me do likewise for ye whippersnappers. Your mom and dad know you better than you know yourself in many ways. Not in all ways, but in many ways. And they have more wisdom than you. I know that hurts to hear, but they do. And there is nobody on the planet who cares for you more than your parents. With that in mind, when it comes to dating courting, you would be wise to listen to them and submit to them and obey them. Now, quick caveat, I recognize that at sometimes there can be some toxic parents where it can become problematic. I got that. As a rule, a young person who is considering dating, courting somebody with the intention of getting married, because I do believe that should be the point. Otherwise, there's nothing but danger and peril when it comes to dating for no purpose. You would do well to heed their wisdom. Let me toss this out as one that is. I hope you will try to grasp this. If you are hearing from your family, that girl, I don't, are you sure that, or if that girl or that boy, whatever the gender situation is not quite fitting in, and everybody in the family is like, that is a loud voice, and you should hear that. And again, I'll put on a caveat. I realize that that might not always be the case, but I think it's a pretty good rule. Somebody should fit. So somebody should kind of slide in to your family, because you're a part of that group. You're a part of that family. And even if you consider yourself to be a bit of the odd duck, nevertheless, as a rule, not a perfect rule, as a rule, it should be pretty natural where everybody's like, yeah, I get it. I see this. Oh, I understand why you would be attracted to that person. Yeah, I like that person too. I'm getting that. If that element is missing, you should think long and hard about what you're doing. There. Are you happy now, Mom and Dad? Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org. Where are my cheaters here? I can't see a thing. Spit all over them. My friend. My friend owns a company. I'll just leave it at that. I'll keep Tony's name out of it. Not you, Tony. This is a different Tony. I'm keeping his name out of it, too. Recently, he had something stolen and never found it. Would it be sinful to put, quote, this unit is tracked by GPS, a sticker on it, to dissuade people from that, even though it doesn't have a GPS? Would that be lying? Wow. There's a conundrum for you, isn't it? Because I know the tug. Hey, they're doing something that is wrong. It's sort of like, now you may not track with this because you may not accept this. It's like the unjust question. Is it okay to lie to the Nazis who are at the door saying, are there Jews in the attic? Because it's an unjust question to tell them, nope, you're not lying, some would say, because it is unjust because of their nefarious intentions. Would that same principle apply to this? The definitive answer is... going to have to decide that one for yourself.
Yeah, big old chicken.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, there's some, look, some of these things, when they get into these trickier areas, until you're in it, it's not, you're maybe not being the wisest in your approach. That's a good rule about a lot of things, isn't it? Somebody asks you for some advice, we're pretty quick to fire it off. I know you don't have this gift, but I do know everything. And so it's very quick and easy for me to just fire away. But it's better if I slow down and maybe just walk a mile in their shoes for a moment. And this goes for all of us when it comes to our elders at church. I don't know all the stuff that they're dealing with. I don't know all their considerations. I don't know what they're confronted with. And so giving grace to that, I think we'd be wise to do that more often than not. And on some issues, maybe we'd just be better to slow our roll and offer a definitive opinion. I can actually see how that could go both ways. My inclination for it would be, I think I need to come up with a system to keep people from stealing my stuff. Because for my conscience, that would be getting too close to the line. I can't tell you why exactly, but for me, I would just say, I couldn't put a sticker on there that isn't truthful. Even if it's to commit somebody from doing a bad thing, I can't do a bad thing to keep somebody from doing a bad thing. Because that would be pragmatic. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. Well, this is gonna...
So then, you would've...
Stop it. Will you let me move on already?
Sure.
What?
Nope,
it's like
don't
walking
know.
Into a death trap.
Nope.
Yeah, no, please. I beg you, Tony, please. Tell me. Oh, sir,
so then
what
if the Nazis came to your door...
Different. It's a different situation. In my estimation, it's a shading of a different situation. Because it is unjust for them to do that. They are asking you to participate in doing something you know is murderous. I don't think that's quite the same as a criminal might come by, see my stuff, and be dissuaded from taking it because I've deceived him into thinking that I've actually got a sign up that says it's being tracked. Now, okay, this will serve. I'm willing, now that you brought me back onto the griddle, you can just fry me like an egg on this one. Would I be opposed? This is so funny. You can dissect this a million ways. I am willing to play guinea pig on this to demonstrate a lesson I have to learn still. And maybe you do too. I'm walking around the Home Depot. Do we still go to the Home Depot? Can we go to the low? Whatever. I'm at the hardware store, and they've got the sign that says, this property protected by ABC Security.
Yep.
And it's $4.99. So I could put this in my front yard, and even though I don't actually have ABC, it could dissuade the criminals. Something inside of me says, I think I'm okay with that. Now, that one is closer to the thingy at the office being stolen. That's a closer parallel than the Nazis and the Jews in the attic. That is, now, what motivates me to think otherwise? The only difference that I can see is it's my stuff versus his stuff. Or maybe it's a business, I don't know. But that is a demonstration of how I, when I am put into the situation, will make a different decision. Isn't that the truth? How we weigh things in our favor? I just did it. Now, I'm not telling you that I would have done that or not. I'm just telling you, my knee-jerk reaction is, I don't think you should put the you're stealing your wheelbarrow or whatever it is that you got at your plant there. I think that'd be lying. But it's not lying in my house because I don't want those people taking my things. Wow. Aren't we?
We are.
Fallen. So, Tony, not you, Tony. The Tony.
Yeah.
We need one more Tony, and we've got ourselves an 80s group right here.
Tony.
Pretty much, right there. I always thought it was Tony Tone, because it was T-O-N-E. See what I know about being cool and groovy. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. This should make you happy. I'm 23 years old. Love seeing these. And I gave my life to Christ a little bit over a year ago. I was asked to lead a small group at my church and to teach other believers on Saturdays. Cool. Most of the people that I would be teaching have been walking with Christ for longer than I have been alive. Is that appropriate? I feel like I'd be able to accurately discuss scripture with them. However, I'm not sure if it's my place to teach yet. You know, too many variables, but I would say it could be just fine. It might not be just fine. It depends on your maturity. It depends on how studied you are. It depends maybe on how much, for instance, you studied the Bible before you would start teaching, before you even got saved. It depends on your maturity level. It depends on maybe they're wanting to do this as an exercise. We want to see what gifting you have because we actually think that you might have a skill to become a preacher or a teacher. So there's just a lot of variables. It might be unwise. It might be wise. I think the wisest thing you can do, and it sounds like you are already doing that, Cade, is talk to them and just say, hey, I'm happy to do this. I'd like to do this. I just want to make sure I'm not being perceived as being impetuous or just rushing things or that I'm going to be like a whippersnapper. I don't want to be that kid. So are you sure that you elders think this is wise? And if your elders say thumbs up, then dude, I say rock on and let nobody look down at you for your youth. Just make sure that you are up to the task, which might mean you got to study a little bit harder even than most because you want to demonstrate, I'm not taking this lightly. Send your emails to, did I do better on that one, Tony?
Much was better.
But that was an either or two. And yeah. Yet you were okay with that. Why?
I was actually okay with the other one.
Why are you double-minded on this one? All of that to say, I'm just trying to defend myself. This is Wretched Radio. Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working, and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day. People are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Here at Wretched, we rely on our gospel partners because without you, there is no us. To show you how much we appreciate you and how much we need you, we wrote you a haiku. Please partner with Wretched. You will not regret it. Counting is hard. Okay, I'm the first to admit, not very good at haikus, but we do truly still need and appreciate our gospel partners. Our gospel partners not only help us keep the lights on around here, but they allow us to keep making Wretched every day. So if you are a gospel partner, thank you very much for your support. We do truly appreciate you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you consider it? If you love listening to Wretched and want to continue to hear us every day, visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. And no more haikus. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joshua tells of the conquest and division of the Promised Land. There are two consistent themes in Joshua: God's faithfulness and his aversion to unfaithfulness. When you wonder how committed God is to his people or doubt the seriousness of idolatry, let Joshua remind you that your God is a jealous God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Coronavirus update sent to me in a text, so you gotta know this is accurate. This is Wretched Radio. My friends in Minnesota, texts a Mrs. Friel, said the Wisconsin bars that border with Minnesota were packed and people were partying. There's your coronavirus update right there.
Iowa, gotta tell too. You,
in Iowa, now, which state is more open? Wisconsin, probably, right?
No, Iowa.
But Iowa's open more.
Wisconsin just got most of the governor's thing overturned by the Supreme Court, so we'll see.
Well, more importantly, Wisconsin, there's a river on the border. Iowa, it's just open land.
It truly is. It's truly fascinating to me that when the government said close, everybody said, okay. Now, when the government is saying open, people are arguing about it. Just yep. It's absolutely like a sociological backwards study. Absolutely fascinating to me. Got to tell you, in the state of Georgia, where I reside, formerly of Minnesota, so now my accent, oof-da. It can be an odd combination of things. A lot of things are open. Not a lot of people out and about. If Georgia, at least Atlanta, and my subjective observations mean anything, the government can say, give the go-ahead. That doesn't mean people are going ahead. And it doesn't mean that things are just going to automatically start roaring back.
Do you mean adults can make their own choice?
But they are. Most adults are deciding to not. I probably don't need to mention this, but I work out. I know.
Oh, I haven't heard
stating
that in a while.
The obvious. Yeah. So the gym, it opens up. And I'm thinking the place is just going to be absolutely crushed with people. Wrong. There was nobody in there. I actually didn't have to wait for equipment for a change. Now, if that's any indication of how slow people are in making the decision to return to normality, we'll see, because it just, whatever your hope is for the future, I just wonder if it's going to be a long time before we return to anything that even resembles the old normal. That opinion is worth, well, that opinion. And I'd expect nothing less from the state of Wisconsin.
Nicely dug.
They certainly do like to consume alcohol in the state of Wisconsin. It is the number one adult beverage consuming state in the country. Brandy specifically, if I'm not mistaken. How does that happen? I don't know that either. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. This was sent from Tristan. On occasion, I experience feelings of doubt of my conversion. You know what? I'm going to save this. I've been getting too many of these emails, and I don't like it. It's not that I don't like the people who are writing them. And it's not that I don't like that. I don't like that it seems so many people in my little orbit are struggling with assurance. This is not a good thing. By the way, Tristan, I'm not by any means scolding you. You're just echoing many voices that I've been hearing from lately. So I want to do a deeper dive. I don't want to skim over the surface of this. So, Tony, make a mental note of that. And that is about as worth as, well, Robin telling you to make a mental note of what you need at the grocery store.
I'll remember it for as long as I can.
Yes. Do you know how big of a jerk I am?
How big?
You don't need to give us an illustration. I learned how big of a jerk I am when Mrs. Friel turned the table on me. Because Mrs. Friel will say, remind me, when we go to Walmart, we need to pick up Sharpies. And I'll say, sweetheart, don't forget when we go to Walmart, you need to pick up Sharpies.
Yeah.
I think I'm brilliant, witty, urbane. And then she did the same thing to me. Wow, was that annoying. Remind me not to do that anymore. Isn't that the way to... Okay, this... You don't know how annoying you are. I don't know how annoying I am. Let me give you a case in point. I, for the life of me, could never understand why Mrs. Friel, frankly, I don't know why she did not drop to her knees in gratitude and praise when I would come home, walk into the kitchen while she is busy preparing dinner, having been with the kiddos all day doing the homeschool routine, and I would walk up to the oven and go, this is on too hot. and I turn it down from a 7 to a 6. I don't know why she didn't just stop everything and say, oh, wise husband, this is why I never want you to leave. I need your wisdom every day. Hmm. Oh, thank you so much, sir. Cut to, I get a phone call from Mrs. Friel. I believe, if I recall the detail, she had to take Jack to something. I don't know if it was to the doctor, it was a school, I don't know what it could have been. And she said, all right, so here's the deal. I've got to take Jack. Now, that means you've got to make dinner. And I said, no, why don't I take Jack? And you do. Nevertheless, didn't sell. She's made it an absolute no-brainer. She said, all you need to do, the chicken is thawed out. Just cut up the chicken into little squares. The recipe is right. I've got the sour cream. It was going to be I'm no gourmet. Friel, that's obvious. Yeah. It was like a chicken stroganoff is what it was going to be, with the sour cream and really delicious stuff. And the mushrooms. The mushrooms are also, all you need to do is follow and throw it into the skillet. All right? So I'm doing my duty, and I don't mind telling you, I'm nailing it. She comes in, sticks her finger into the goulash, tastes it, and goes, needs more sour cream. What? What? My masterpiece needs more sour cream. How dare you judge my labors? The very same thing that I did, expecting to receive praise and gratitude, I found profoundly annoying. What's the difference? Me. 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 I do it, fine. You do it to me, not fine. It is a demonstration of how much we love ourselves. And furthermore, if I might add, when you, whether you do it poorly or whether you do it well, when you go about the business of trying to help a spouse, correct a spouse, and they do not receive it well, remember chicken stroganoff. Remember that you don't know how you would respond in the same situation. You do not know how you would do. Furthermore, you don't know how you're doing in delivering the package. You might think that you are doing a boffo bang-up job, but you're not potentially. And they're not. It's the look on your face. It's the tone. You think you're doing great, but you're really not so much. And they don't respond real well. Remember those things. Furthermore, you don't know how hard they're trying. You don't know. You don't know what effort they're putting into it. You see them do that little thing that they've maybe done for years, but they didn't do it 9 times, and this is the 10th time they fell down. You don't know that. It should soften our hearts toward one another. Furthermore, you don't know the temptation. You don't know what the devil might be up to, the spiritual battle that might be going on. All that to say, maybe, just maybe, as we go about the business of hopefully trying to correct and love one another, that when they do not receive it the way that we think that they should, maybe we can have a little bit of patience, because maybe we wouldn't do any better than they did. Remember, chicken stroganoff. Kim writes, is it unchristian to not wear a mask at church? Our church said it's recommended but not required. That is, I think that's a question every individual needs to answer. But I would suggest this. If you happen to be an anti-masker, for whatever reason, you don't like the whole mask business and you refuse to wear it out to the store or whatever, might I suggest church might be a little different, because you've got brothers and sisters there who maybe are very concerned about it, or they're in an age demographic, and maybe, just maybe, for the sake of your brothers and sisters, to love them and to honor them, even if you don't think they do any good. You've read the article about the carbon monoxide, that it doesn't do anything, so you don't feel like wearing it when you go to the grocery store. But maybe in an act of love for your brothers and sisters, do it for them. One, maybe. Maybe not. Adiaphora. And by the way, if you are a masker and somebody doesn't, you can most certainly avoid that person, but the same grace, I think, should be flowing back and forth. I get it. I get the emotional stuff. I get the concern. I get all of that. But grace with one another. Think chicken stroganoff. Idea at wretched.org. Victoria is saying things like holy smokes or holy cow a sin because it has the word holy in it. Well, the only things that are holy are the things that God says are intrinsically holy. That doesn't mean we can't consecrate something. But I think it's probably more of a sacred expression that probably puts it on the line of, I think we can do better and avoid that. Wouldn't become a legalist about this, but the word holy, only God is truly holy. He is the holiest of holies. And so even though we replace his name with a different cow, why cows? I don't know. Smokes, why smoke? I don't know. But because it has the word holy in it, my inclination would be, probably could do something better. Here's an assignment for you. Christian, we need to come up with some sort of an expression that doesn't sound entirely dopey, but that isn't blasphemy, or that isn't a minced oath, or that isn't something that borders on the line of being bawdy or terrible. You've now got your homework. I expect it to be turned in whenever you get around to it. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.